Teach and the Ad Council.
Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
I don't know if they're going to be rained out or chilled out, but I don't know how many from Our Savior will be walking. But if you wish to make a gift through Church World Services, which is a community effort through our sister congregations of St. Clair County, it's going to take place at First United Methodist Church up there on Water Street / Lapeer, 12:30, gathering at the church, dispersing the walkers in one of two paths, and at 1:00. And then when the walkers return, they turn in their sheets. For those of us who don't go to the walker, we didn't get directly solicited by somebody to support a walker, we have the sheets in the back, and you can sign your name for whatever amount you'd like to pledge, and it'll go to our walkers. And then you can turn it in next week with one of the pew envelopes in the pew. So please take advantage of this cooperative Christian effort for world hunger on this day. This day is also known in the calendar as Worldwide Communion Sunday. That is to say, for the last 130 years, started in Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a Presbyterian minister said, you know, all of us Christian churches should recognize one common day. Granted, we have different teachings and understandings of the sacrament, but let's designate our unity to the world with one Sunday that we can agree to. So the first Sunday of October for 120 plus years has been called Worldwide Communion Sunday, first Sunday of October. So we celebrate the Eucharist this day in fellowship with Christians across this globe and planet that our Creator has made. Also, as mentioning, next week is the blessing of the animals, and some of us were talking about it before the service. Let me tell you a story real quick. Happened. I was making a call on a family who listens to us on the radio, and they're probably listening right this second. When I walked through the front door, the daughter at the house, Chrissy, said, "Pastor, can you do a blessing on my two dogs? I can't get them out next Sunday." And I said, "Yes, I can. Have wheels, we'll bless." So I went over and did the blessing on the two dogs, laid hands on and prayed. And you should have seen the dogs just relax and calm down. It was just awesome. The blessing of the animals, St. Francis Sunday. Next Sunday, we do the blessing of the animals. So if you wish to bring a pet in, please do so. Thing I would ask you to remember is that we're also doing a potluck lunch that Sunday for Rise Up. So please plan on coming to the luncheon, but also plan on the bringing your pet. I'm still not sure, being here for two services and a potluck, if I'll bring a chicken, duck, or a cat. I'll have to ponder that. I just might leave them all at home. So, this Sunday we have a special guest for our Rise Up campaign, Mr. Steve Fair. I've known Steve and he's known me, unfortunately, by circumstances with the family of the Bonics and the gathering for funerals and weddings that we've gotten together over the years. He's the owner and manager of Renewal Christian Counseling here in St. Clair County, but also in the state of Michigan. So he has multiple sites around. There he uses his gift with the faith of the other people in ways that give service to other people in their time of need. So the whole theme of Rise Up is to take the gifts you have and empower them to be used for the good and well-being of people, to make them more whole in their life. And that's certainly being done through the Christian Counseling Service. So he will bring the message. Pastor Don is not sick, for those listening on the radio. I am still here, but we have this opportunity and we want to take full advantage of it. So we came here to worship. So if you open up your service folder, I invite you to stand. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one who fashions us, the one who heals us, the one who reforms us again and again. Amen. Let us confess our sin, calling on God's transforming power. Source of all life, we confess that we have not allowed your grace to set us free. We fear that we are not good enough. We fear your word of love freely given to us, and yet we expect others to earn it. We turn the church inward rather than moving it outward. Forgive us, stir us, reform us to be a church powered by love, willing to speak for what is right, act for what is just, and seek the healing of your whole creation. Amen. And it's God who hears our cry. It's God who sends the Spirit to change us, to empower our lives in this world. Our sins are forgiven. God's love is unconditional. And we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our entrance hymn is "Let Justice Flow Like Streams" from Isaiah. Flow like streams. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And we sing our hymn of praise, verses 1, 4, and 5, for the beauty of the earth. The Lord be with you.
And
if you would join me in the prayer for this day, we pray together. Sovereign God, you have created us to live in loving community with one another. Form us for a life that is faithful, steadfast, and teach us to trust like little children, so that we may reflect the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the reading of God's Word this day. And Judy brings us the first lesson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 4 with various verses. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord, your God. With which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Word of God. Word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Judy. And we have our second reading. And Tony Gaines brings us the second reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The second reading comes from James Chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, have a seat here, please. Well, to the one who is poor, you say, stand here or sit at my feet. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. It is not the rich who oppress you. It is not they who drag you into the court. It is not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you. You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not commit murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Tony. If you're able to stand, we'll stand for the gospel acclamation. We'll speak it together. I'll take my microphone off. Okay. Hallelujah. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. Hallelujah. The gospel text for the day from Mark, our gospel for this year, 7th chapter, selected verses beginning with the first. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when the Pharisees, some of the scribes, who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is to say, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat their food unless they thoroughly wash their hands. Thus they observe the tradition of the elders. They do not eat anything from the market unless it too is also washed. And there are many other traditions that they observe. Washing of cups, pots, bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and all the scribes asked Jesus, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat with defiled hands? And then Jesus said to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as if they were doctrines. They abandon the commandment of God and hold to human traditions. Then Jesus called the crowd together. He said to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside a person that's causing that by the person by going in that can defile him, but rather it's the things that come out of a person that are what defile him. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come, such as fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
If you'll please be seated. Steve Fair is with us, as I said, in introduction, and he'll be speaking in a second. Came to know Steve through contacts with family members. For those of you who remember Mary Preston, Mary is his grandmother, and connected to the Bonnocks, Ray and Sue Shinosky's, many families within this congregation. So it was very easy when looking for a speaker and a man of faith to be invited to be here in this pulpit. Now we Lutherans take the Lutheran pulpit pretty serious. We just don't relinquish it to everybody. But we really look for a person of faith to be in this position to speak God's word to us in a contemporary fashion. So I hope you'll pay mind, listen to what he says, because he too, like James says, puts the faith active in love to people. Steve?
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Are you awake this morning? I think I scared Pastor a little bit. I was awake, but I got into some things this morning. He thought I slept in, but I did not. I'm here. I'm so glad to be here. And I just want to read a bit of scripture from Colossians today. I'm so honored to be here. As Pastor said, my family grew up here. Grandparents attended here as long as I can remember. My mom was raised here in this church, Sharon Fair, which was Sharon Preston. And so I feel very well acquainted with this church. We have our family reunions down in the basement every Christmas. So this is a place I remember running around as kids. I'm glad Pastor didn't know about that, but we'd kind of sneak up from downstairs. And there's some cool places to explore around this church here. It really is. So if you have your Bibles, if you'd turn with me. If you don't, that's fine. I want to talk a little about this theme this morning of Rise Up. What a great campaign slogan, but more than that, what a campaign slogan for our life. It is time to rise up, and we have personally been in this community for my whole life. Many of you have also. As you well know, this community is rising up. There's a campaign here in this church, but there's a movement by God in this great community that He is rising us up, and He's doing it in a unique way. He's rising us up together. There is no other way to do rising up but to do it together as one body. We have one head that is Christ, amen? And we have us, the body, the bride of Christ, doing this together. So as we share from the Word this morning, I want us to realize that this just isn't something at one church. This isn't something that's happening just at our Savior. This is a movement that God's doing in our community and all around. He's rising us up. And what does that mean? It means there's something new happening. The scripture says, "Behold, do you not see? I'm doing a new thing." And there is a new thing happening. There's doors opening all over for us as Christians to go forth. I love how someone said it. Share the gospel everywhere you go and in everything you do, and use words if necessary. That we're rising up and we're sharing the gospel and we're taking ground for the kingdom. And most of it is in deed, as we read this morning. Faith without deeds is dead. It's feeding the hungry. It's taking care of those with addictions. Did you know there's a growing movement here, and Pastor's a big part of this, with a treatment subcommittee here that is reaching out to the addicts of this community like I've never seen, like many of us have never seen before. There really is an enemy that comes to steal and kill and destroy. And he's doing it with heroin. He's doing with addictions of all kinds. And so this community is rising up and saying, not in our community, not here, not now. We're going to come together. We're going to rise up. We're going to bring the gospel of Christ to the addicts of this community. And we're taking ground, my friends. And we're doing it together across denominational lines. We're doing it across the community, the church community, the mental health community. We have the privilege at Renewal Christian Counseling Center to be a part of that. And as I read, I just want to challenge us. Before we rise up, we need to go low. To be raised up in life, as Jesus was resurrected after 3 days, he first had to die. He first had to go low. He first had to die and give everything he had for us. And I believe this morning, that's our challenge, is as we decide to rise up, it's time for us to decide first to go low. To be last is to be first. Matthew 10 says that we gain our life when we lose our life. And what does that mean, to lose our life. Speaking of addictions, I was reminded as I was preparing for this morning, my wife and I have often just learned to follow that still small voice inside that leads us into places where we don't want to go, that leads us outside of our comfort zone. And speaking of addictions, there was a man in my life that I mentored for years, and that still small voice, he was a heroin addict. He was a crack addict. We had to kick him out of our house. We moved him in our house, and that still small voice that says, go low, give everything you have, said to me, move him into your backyard in a tent. So what did we do? We moved him into our backyard in a tent. As Pastor knows, most addicts, they've exhausted every resource source they've ever had. They've lost and closed every door. And so he wasn't trusted in our house, and he couldn't be trusted in our house. But I ask you this morning, as we go low, as we lose our lives, as we follow that still small voice inside, how would you react if the Holy Spirit said to you, move a heroin addict into your backyard, have him pitch a tent in your backyard, in the middle of the winter, by the way. He stayed in our backyard. There is fruit in that man's life today because we followed that still small voice. I remember when we started Renewal Christian Counseling Center, I personally had never had a thought of having our own agency, having our own ministry. I was more than content to follow and to lead from behind. And that still small voice again said to me, Steve, it's time. I have a calling on your life. Rise up. I'm doing a new thing. And thank God I had mentors in my life that helped me rise up. But those were tough days as you start a ministry, as you branch out into the unknown, as Abraham did. All he had was a few promises in his back pocket and the great unknown ahead. There's going low thing means we don't have an understanding often of where we're going. All we have is a drive in us to obey and to follow that still small voice. And here we are 18 years later. I always tell people, I don't think I would do this if God had told me all the work it would take in 18 years to raise up a counseling center, to minister in the community, to work day in and day out. And the cost wasn't just financial. The cost wasn't just my time. The cost was and is for me, and I believe for all of us, is to go where we don't understand. It's the great unknown. It's the giving up of our comfort zones, which we as Americans have learned to live in. It is our God, is our comfort. And God says, to rise up first, I need you to go low, which means I need you to get out of your comfort zone. I need you to give up this right to be comfortable, to give up this right to understand and know what's ahead. I remember and appreciate my pastor growing up. I grew up at Colonial Woods Church down the street. He would always say this to us. He said, Steve, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. We hold up a lamp in the darkness, and as a triangle outside of what's dark, we see, but we see only 2, 3, 4 steps ahead, oftentimes no further. And yet we take those 2 next steps by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and He reveals the next 2 steps. That's the unknown. You know, to gain our life, it's to lose our life. And there's a great cost to losing our life. But when we do, we gain our life and we rise up. So I just wanted to ask us this morning to count the cost before we rise up, before we do our pledges this morning. What is the cost you're willing to pay today? The Bible's very specific about that. To count the cost before you build the tower. The Bible says a foolish man doesn't count the cost. What are we willing to pay this morning? Are we willing to give up that comfort zone, that understanding? Are we willing to give up our time and to go into the great unknown where we might not get as much television time? We might not get as much rest. We might work and labor, but I'll tell you this, as he's teaching me, that labor is the most fulfilling thing we could ever have in our life, because our labor is our joy. As we move forward in labor, we move forward into God's will. There's a flow there. There's a life there. There's an energy there that as we leave our comfort zone, we move forward into him. I just want to read the scripture real quick, tell you one story, and I'll be done. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, and by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Amen. We were and are being buried, crucified, and baptized in Christ and with Christ. Why? So that we can be raised back up with him. He's raising us up into him, church. And my great hope and excitement this morning is that, as it says back in verse 9, all the fullness that dwells in the fullness of the Godhead dwells in us, dwells in you. That all of Father God dwelling in Christ Jesus, living in our heart then, dwells inside of us. That makes this rising up and going forth such a blessing, because it isn't by our own works. It's by his grace in us. There is not a gift that's not represented in this congregation this morning. There's not a calling that's not represented, because the fullness of God dwells in us and in you. And we go forth knowing that as we rise up in him. Lastly, I've had the great honor of writing a book this past year. It sat on my computer for 7 years. I just follow that still small voice inside of me. And 7 years ago, things just kind of started pouring out of me. I didn't know what it was. I thought maybe it was a training for our counselors. I thought maybe it was a journal. After about 250 pages, I kind of figured out this isn't a journal and this isn't a training. But I didn't know what it was, because I try to live my life like Christ did. He said, I do nothing except that I hear it from the Father. I knew something was pouring out, but I didn't know what it was, so I let it sit and I waited. Those that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. They rise up as wings of eagles. So I sat and I waited. I actually kind of forgot it was there. But 7 years later, that still small voice, that same voice that said, move a dude into your backyard in a tent, that same small voice that said, start a counseling center, that same small voice that wrote 250 pages now said, it's time. I'm not done. I want you to publish that book. I've had the great honor of just traveling around. I've been so many places this past year. one story that came out of that book that I want to share with you. And I hadn't remembered this since I was just years and years ago, but I got this picture of my sister. She's 2 years younger than me. My sister, Chris, won a goldfish that we named Skippy at a carnival at our elementary fair. And many of you have had goldfish or pets. And how long does a goldfish usually live, really? I mean, here's a little guy goldfish about this big, the cheapest they could buy, and she won it, and she was so proud, and it came home in this little plastic bag, as they do, and Mom and Dad kind of bought the very smallest bowl that you could ever buy, because you just figure a little girl with a little goldfish, it's going to be around a couple days, but lo and behold, we buy a bowl this big, we put a little bit of blue rocks in the bottom, and that silly fish lived not 2 days, not 2 years. That fish, Skippy, lived for 14 years. 14 years later, I remember seeing my sister drive off to Eastern Michigan University with that silly goldfish seat-belted into the front seat, and it would swim left and it would swim right. Why did God put Skippy in my book, and why am I sharing him this morning? Because God brought this point to me. He said, Steve, did Skippy live life to its fullest? You know, the scripture says that Jesus said that we might have life and have it to its fullest. And I ask that places, I have two responses. Some kind of envy my sister's fish, Skippy. Because if you think of Skippy's life, it was a life of comfort for 14 years. He didn't have to worry about being fed. Maybe sometimes if my sister talked on the phone for too long and forgot that night. But it didn't have to worry about much. It had a very predictable life as it swam in its little world this big, left or it swam right, for 14 years. But I guess I want to challenge you with this, that my conclusion is Skippy the fish didn't live. Skippy existed. Skippy hadn't existed. His heart pumped. But living in that comfort zone wasn't a safe place. It was a prison for that fish that kept him from living life outside of that little bowl. He could have swam the seas. He could have recreated. He could have made a difference. I believe God's calling us out of our fish bowls, out of being Skippy the fish, and out into the great deep. That's what rising up means. And if I could pray this morning with you, my prayer would be, God, give us the grace to be a Skippy and to get out of that bowl. Give us the grace to go low, to die first, that we'll gain our life by losing our life, that we might rise up as a community and go forth in Him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much this morning for who you are. We thank you that the fullness of the Godhead of Father God living in and being Christ Jesus, who dwells in our hearts, then makes us complete in all ways. Your fullness dwells in us. God, we just release now that fullness from within us to go forth and to rise up. But God, humbly we ask you first that you would give us the grace, God, to die first, to be raised up thereafter, God, to give up all that is ours, not only of our time and our finances, but God, that you would give us the grace to step outside of all that is comfortable to us, of all that has become our safety, our structure, our traditions of men in our churches, in our homes, in our lives. God, that we would leave it at the altar this morning with you and before you, and that we would rise up there, God, really realizing, God, your anointing, your love, and your presence as we go forth like never before. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you so much.
since Steve was talking about growing movements within the community, I guess I could let out of the bag and on the radio that two events are going to be planned in the next 3 weeks that will prepare us for the holidays, which for many people are dark and gloomy and depressing because of deaths, losses, those kind of experiences. So the community churches who can work together with each other through the Old Town, we have decided that we will do Advent luncheons. We discovered after 8 years that the Lenten luncheons built a fiber among and a fellowship for our 8-9 churches. We said we got to go further. So this year we're going to take on an Advent time to prepare and bring people together in a regular thing every Thursday for 4 weeks. Second thing, got across my desk, my emails 2 weeks ago from Lydia at Grace Episcopal. We had talked about this in our Old Town meetings of doing something for the dark days, a worship service, bringing people together from this community. So, and in unity of our churches. So Lydia's gonna call us together. I will be there on Thursday at 4:30 over at Grace Episcopal. We're going to plan a service where intentionally we're trying to reach those who, whether they're part of a faith community or not, are just looking for fellowship and understanding and grieving at this time of the year. So that will take place in the planning stages beginning this Thursday. So God is working. Things that are crossing denominational lines, things that artificially separated us, we're really realizing we're sisters and brothers. Amen. We have a common ministry in Jesus Christ. So thank you very much, Steve, for your words. Our service continues with our hymn of the day, which is on page 11, Lord, Whose Love in Humble Service.
Who upon the cross
Our worship continues with our prayers. If you'll please stand, Scott leads us this day in our prayers.
Longing for God's will to be filled among us, we pray persistently for the church, the world, and all people in need. Holy God, send your blessings into the world through missionaries, evangelists, and servants of your church. Through them, spread the good news to all who need. Lord, in your mercy, we praise you for the animals of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and all the works of your hands. Let our care for all who have made reflect your desire for health of all creation. Lord, in your mercy. Rule the nations of this world with the same grace you employ to align the planets, the stars, and moons. Where there is disorder, move us towards righteousness and justice. Lord, in your mercy. Deliver your care to your children who feel unworthy of care. Bend low to lift up the people who struggle and find others who will embrace them in time of need. We pray especially for Iris Cook, Carrie Harper, Alexander Roston, Gary Pike, Maria Rumpf, John Pennell, Mike Parker, Bev Childster, John Langolf, Sly Langolf, Alvira and Joe Coulthard, Rhonda Colesby, Andrew Cataldo, Kelly Parker and Eric, Susan Phillips, Don Phillips' brother, Henry Kettles, Donald Seltzer, John Juski, Jerry Leatherdale, Cinder Maynard, and Jill Harper. And Lord, be with those serving our nation, Tristan Morrison and Jamie Soulier and Rob Nolan, and those returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning to our communities. Lord, in your mercy, bring reconciliation among this community. Heal relationships that are broken. When we face division, open our eyes to signs of a new life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, be with us on this World Communion Sunday. Allow us to remember the grace of your gift of your communion. Lord, thank you for bringing your brother, Stephen, from another congregation to remind us that we are one body in Christ. Along with the saints, form us into a holy and loving community in which people can find abundant compassion and peace. Through us, bring others into your unbreakable covenant. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Enfold all things into your compassion, O God, and bring us into your life through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's church. In your now insert are many announcements. Besides, let me remind you, the community is doing the crop hunger walk, and some of our people will be walking in spite of the weather, and you can still make gifts for that. This is the day, as we have mentioned, in which pledge cards or commitment cards can be returned in the offering plate or next Sunday in the offering plate for the Rise Up campaign. This, too, is an expression of the 120-plus congregations of this synod pulling resources together to make the ministry of our churches in Southeast Michigan bear honorable witness to the Christ we know, so that we may be more effective in our outreach to those that Christ has set before us. So this is a serious and certainly well-planned and orchestrated campaign for our involvement. You also see in your now that Tuesday night is our church council meeting. All council members will find in their mailboxes a copy of the proposed budget, which has been done by the Finance Committee. Come prepared, look at the document. We will discuss it and take action if it's appropriate that night or the following month. So please pick up your copy of that budget. Our congregational meeting every year is the second Sunday of November. So please plan that Sunday and the following potluck that will happen. Of course, you know, when two or three Lutherans, probably like other denominations, get together, we pass food. So we get together and we share table fellowship with one another on that Sunday. Many other things, please read, respond to the ones appropriate. Please rise as our offering is presented. And we sing Our Father by Whose Name is our offertory hymn. We'll sing first and third verses.
God of life, you give us these gifts of the earth, these resources of our life and our labor. Take them, offered in great thanksgiving, and use them to set the table that will heal the whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and light.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
And
let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It's right.
Thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the meal was over, the Lord took the cup of wine. He gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. And so with this bread, with this cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So let us pray as Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come and let us eat, for now the feast is spread. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. When you're guided forward, we sing the hymns in between. We share the gift. It's got Christ's body for you. The blood of Christ shed for you, Scott. Depart in our Lord's peace, my brother. And welcome to the Lord's table.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.